from the Sound of Life studios, in this corner, it's Joe Hunter with the Cup of Joe Morning Show. Get ready to ramble!
Amazing, isn't it? But you do look like you could use a weekend retreat, and I'm thinking probably the middle of April is none too soon, right? Well, the Sound of Life has some good news for you because we partnered with Word of Life, and that's where it's going to be happening. I got to say this, though. Musically, a guy named Josh Wilson, in case you didn't know Josh Wilson.
I refuse.
It's one of his songs you've heard on the radio. Sound of Life, hosting a weekend getaway at Word of Life, and you're invited. And Josh Wilson is the musical worship guy, and we've got teaching and preaching from Pastor Matt Eaches. The retreat will be, of course, uplifting, offer exciting things for the young folks in your family, and it'll make you wish, can I go over and do what they're doing? That's pretty cool. So no matter what your family looks like, the ages, all that, so you're absolutely invited to our Sound of Life weekend getaway coming up April 12th, 13th, and 14th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It will be at Word of Life right there in the Southern Adirondacks, spring in the Word of Life. It's Southern Adirondacks, at Word of Life. That's what I meant to say. Details and your opportunity to secure your place there, check it all out. The Weekend Getaway banner is on our mobile apps and at our website, soundoflife.org. Good thing to tell somebody this week. I love you. Yes, Taryn Wells, God says, I love you even though I've known you. I know you better than you know yourself. Whoa! So Taryn Wells called that song Noon, and that's it. I act like a kid sometimes, and sometimes that's not a bad thing, I don't think. Samaritan's Purse had all these cute little kids. You know, you get the great answers, and there's a certain age that children growing up are become very vocal and animated. I think it's different. I'm just going by personal experience with my children. Whether it's a girl or a boy, I don't know. I guess everybody's different. But my daughter was very vocal, a lot younger than the boys. But they all become very vocal, very animated. You know, they're just wonderful. I mean, they can be. You just they hear everything and repeat everything. I just want to tell you that. So it makes sense that they ask him. The question is, kid, what is love? You tell me.
Love is like over a gillion stuff.
Loving someone even if you don't want to.
When your parents or your teachers don't tell you to.
Giving away stuff that you really, really like.
If they want the toys, I'll share.
Sale? Toys?
It's smiling and saying good things about them.
I should say, you have very nice clothes.
I hope my mommy.
I played with another person on the playground when she didn't have anybody to play with.
People are loving to me. I feel like I should do it to someone else.
Because Jesus did the same for us.
It's like your daughter says you will have them do to you.
That you should treat the other one just like I've been treated before. Not like bad, but the kind I've been good treated.
Right.
Nobody really wants to play with somebody who's been mean.
Being kind is helping those in need.
Give them some food.
Get fish and bread and green beans and peas and apples.
Ask my mom and or dad.
Can we go get food for this hungry person that I found?
Wow.
Love is hugging your mom and helping her wash the dishes.
I just get a lot of food and just spray them.
People show me love by holding my hand. They also give me a kiss from the head when I'm asleep very lightly.
There's people that don't get love in other places of the world.
You help them.
Just help people.
If we show people love, they can spread it all around the world.
Connect with Joe Hunter on Facebook. Go to the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook page because he really needs some friends.
The Sound of Life.
The battle of wits has begun.
That song puts a smile on my face. Hey, that is Lauren Daigle and Look Up Child. So congratulations, Lauren, for being a Grammy winner last night at the Grammys. That was the name of the album, Look Up Child. It wasn't for the song. It was, the song was You Say. She got the Christian Song of the Year and Christian Album of the Year. And there were a lot of great people that were nominated, including Zach Williams, Torrin Wells, Corey Ashbery, were all nominated. So, I just want to bring you up to speed there. They, of course, are in that show, which I personally think should be televised. Some great people were in that show that is actually before the Grammys. I think it was, who was it that was there a few years ago and said, yeah, they when that show's over, they rush you out of there because they got to, you know, get it ready for the red carpet stars that are coming down. They get on TV, you know, pretty amazing. Megan Garrett was there. She said last year, she tweeted out last night, last year this time I was walking the red carpet at the Grammys. Now I'm walking the Kroger grocery store in my pajama pants. It's kind of real life. It's kind of the way it is right there. From time to time, people ask us about programs that are on, maybe sermons that people do. You know, there's all kinds of great teachers. And there's a teacher for every, you know, kind of a denomination, if you will, whatever, that's on. And we'd fill up all our airtime if we started putting them all right here on the radio station. We're music oriented, but we do have a place where you can access additional programs, sermons, all kinds of Christian content, just a great, great organization that we partner with, and you can check it out. It's soundoflife.tv, basically, is what it is, but you can connect there at soundoflife.org. Go to soundoflife.org, and you can click and listen, you know, soundoflife.tv. It's amazing, and there's even video content as well, too, you know. Some of your favorite teachers and preachers and pastors are there. So stop by soundoflife.org and then check out soundoflife.tv.
Here at the Sound of Life, we play a ton of awesome faith-based music. But have you ever wondered about the story behind these songs? Well, here's a glimpse.
Do we believe what we read? Do we believe what we confess? And I think there's a power to confession. You know, the Bible says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you'll be saved. That's the premise of our faith. And it begins with confession. And so this song is a confession. It's like it's putting it out there. It's like, you know what? No, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what my circumstances say. I don't care what is the natural world throws at me. My faith is in something greater, something higher.
This song is a gift because I get to sing this over people. And even if people are in like the craziest moment where they're just like, I don't even know how I'm going to get out of this. Or like, God, how are you going to work in this? I love that I get to sing that over people. And I love that I get to go like this. God has a final say, no matter what it looks like down here. But like, he's in complete control. When he said it is finished on the cross, like that was it. This song somehow, that would be our prayer, that people would start to realize that they can confess the word of God over their own lives and they can actually stand up and say, not today, not on my watch.
Your daily dose of encouragement.
Difference between life and death. That's an exaggeration. Okay, a little bit, it is.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
Parenting, isn't it, Mom? Where you're like, oh, of course. You know, there's no way that I'm able to handle this. And if you're listening to me right now, there's a chance that you're probably got the quiet time in the car, maybe, or you're right along with the kids and you're like, shut up, I want to hear this. This is quiet. Because I said I had three words for you. Whatever you are, whatever you're doing, it's for you. And I want you to think about these words. And the words are, you are enough. Because God created you to be in the position that he has you in. And that is probably the most position that anybody that he's ever created is in. And that would be to bring up those kids. It's pretty amazing. If you're like the mom that remembered the first time discovering that you're going to have a baby and you're looking in disbelief at that pregnancy test, and at the same time the joy that you have is like, oh, wow, now I've got all these concerns, you know, because I took some medication and I had some sushi and I'm already a bad mom. That's kind of how you think. I just know that because I'm just reading this. But you're exhausted, you're worn out, you want sleep. And then you feel guilty because you're thinking about yourself, you know, and you're just, oh, here I go. I'm just a bad mom. But you know what? You are enough. That's a wonderful message, a great message. I just thought I'd lay that out there right here during Valentine's week, love week, right? You can't keep up. You're not fast enough. You're not skilled enough. You're not observant enough. And that's what you think. I'm not enough. You know, then there's homework and tests and making and losing friends and all the stresses of raising school age. You know, you think about all that stage in life, those different stages in life. And then you think, I'm not enough. But yes, beautiful mother, you are enough. You are enough. So I have a celiac disease. This is kind of interesting. Allergy in my intestines. Want to know more? No. So I cannot eat certain foods that contain gluten, mainly wheat, which really makes food great. I learned all this stuff from a food, a dietitian. That's what I'm trying to say, a dietitian. Which, if you really get serious about what you eat and stuff, you know, a lot of people get a dietitian. And Paul is here to lighten our day and talk to us what it's really like, because he's a food expert, to be under the wings, I guess you should say, of a dietitian. So let's give a big morning, Cup of Joe Morning Show welcome to Paul right here. What's it like?
You basically tell someone what you ate, and they tell you how bad it was they ate it. It's like going to confession for food, pretty much, you know? And you always lie about what you eat, make it sound like healthier than it is. You don't sound like a fat slob to this person, you know? So she said, what did you have for lunch today, Paul? I said, I had a sandwich, no mayonnaise, no cheese. She said, that sounds healthy. What kind of bread did you use? Chocolate? What kind of sandwich is that? It's an ice cream sandwich. Talking about food too much, man. I remember one time, because people are always sensitive, like gluten-free. Yeah. Everyone wants to know exactly what's in their food, you know? And everyone gets really sensitive if something is on your food and you don't think it's supposed to be. Like, I had a guy when I was working at a club, he spilled cheese on my fries. He said, I'm sorry, I was making a hamburger, I spilled cheese on your fries. It's like, well, why are you apologizing? Exactly. You're acting like it was poison. You spilled cheese on my fries. That's like spilling sunshine on a cloudy day.
Yeah, buddy. Absolutely.
That's not a mistake.
In honor of Abraham Lincoln today. A lot of people kind of taking off. It was today's anniversary of his birthday. Still the tallest president. The one we have now is about 6'3". Abraham Lincoln was 6'4". And, of course, in the 1800s, that's a pretty tall person. Very tall. First president with a beard, and the story goes that a little girl said, you know what? You gotta grow a beard. You know, you're not doing a lot for me. that mug is, needs a beard, and he did, and he is the first president with a beard. It's a very interesting, very sad case, of course. The man was in what really was a constitutional crisis. People talk about that nowadays. I said, man, the Civil War was when the United States was divided, the Union divided, and he brought together the, I'm going on and on about the president just because I heard somebody say this, you know, he really brought together the idea of the founders, here in the mid 1800s, kind of, you know, 100 years after their ideas, really were coming to fruition about what this country would be, a place that would have just a lot of freedom. But we really went down that wrong, a really bad path, and I think the Civil War was God's judgment on this country for not abolishing slavery, and it certainly appears to be that way. It's just absolutely senseless. It's incredible what we did to each other. It's just incredible. But here he was, a president, in the middle of all that. So when you think about times, tough times, and things going on, and constitutional crisis, quote-unquote, getting thrown around, you think about Abraham Lincoln, what to do, and things. And they said a couple of years into that war, I guess after the or during the Gettysburg Address kind of era there, he really grew spiritually. I guess he would say he was a professing Christian, but he really got to know Jesus, I think, during that time. People said, yeah, he was, and as you very well could see, why. So today is not President's Day. That's Monday, coming up Monday, but it is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. But, hey, what am I doing? We got a big concert coming up with Sidebar Prophets, and we've got Dave Frey right here at Sidebar Prophets. And I've got to talk to you. We talk a lot about the name. What's the story behind the name, man?
Yeah, that's really a kind of a cool story. When we first started, our band name was Four Floors to Heaven. with a Z in Florence and a Roman numeral 2. And we realized, man, that is one of the lamest names of all time. We better change this name before, because we have this chapel performance, and we don't want to get forever branded as Four Floors to Heaven. And so we stayed up real late, my buddy Ben and I. We got this chapel performance coming up, and we need to give them a name. And we opened up the Bible. I'll never forget opening up the Bible. I was getting desperate. And I said, whatever I put my finger on, that's our band name. And I literally, I put my finger down, and it said, Isaac Begat Jacob. And I said, that is a terrible band name. That's worse than what we got. So that wasn't going to work. I shut the Bible, and we went to our separate rooms. Ben was in one dorm. I was in another. And Ben sat down, and that night, he was reading the dictionary, of all things, and the dictionary definition of the word prophet is someone that tells the truth about life. It's so simple. It's so beautiful. And that actually came first, the prophet part, and I loved it. I thought, man, that's what we want to do. We want to be men telling the truth about life, which is the love of Jesus Christ. And so we had that prophet part, but we couldn't just be prophets. We needed to be something else, you know, something more. And I was listening to Jars of Clay. They're one of my favorite bands ever, and their song Art and Me off their first album says, images on the sidewalk speak of dreams descent, washed away from storms to graves of cynical lament. And that one line of poetry, I just pictured a man walking down the sidewalk, and he saw on the ground exactly what God wanted for him, but he walked right past it, never looking down to see what God intended. And that line breaks your heart, but at the same time, it's a great reminder that at all times, our God is with us, and he's talking to us. And we need to be listening. And the way you can do that, you know, staying in the Word, staying in prayer, just keeping your eyes open to what God has for you instead of fearing all the time. And that was something I was going through. So it was a great reminder to me that as a sidewalk prophet, I want to be a man that listens to God and also speaks the truth about life, which is his love. And that's our band in a nutshell, I pray.
Sidewalk prophet.
The right song at the right time. The Sound of Life.
I just wholeheartedly agree with this 100%. You know, I mean, there's a point where making money off of giving people tickets goes a little bit far. Now, I can understand speeding tickets. There are certain places around our area, like Coxsackie on the thruway, that if you're speeding, you're going to get a ticket. And I'll tell you something. If the speed limit is 65, if you're driving 75, you will not get a ticket. Everybody that gets the tickets doing 80. So if you're doing 85, and then there's always that that luxury sports car guy we didn't even know what he was doing. But you know, you get pulled over at one of those stops or something like that, and your inspection's out, or you got a tail light out, and things like that. This town is doing something that really ought to be countrywide. It's pretty amazing, because if you get stopped in this town for a busted taillight or a headlight, instead of getting a ticket, you get something else. It's a voucher to get it fixed. That's incredible. People must be like, what? Am I on candy camera or something? It's the Oxford Police Department. They started a We Care program, and they do. They really do. They're trying to help the community. And it follows, there are other programs like this, Oregon, Illinois, and Iowa all have places where there are programs like this. And the police chief said, all we want you to do is have a safe working vehicle. True. That's absolutely true. So they partner together with local repair shops and stuff, and they, you know, give you a voucher to get that fixed. Now, of course, they pay their repair shops, but you don't. They do. It's pretty amazing. The people said, you know, we didn't do this overnight. This took a while to get going, but I think it's just an absolutely great idea. And it, you know, leads to some interesting, I mean, you start thinking out of the box like that, and it's really pretty cool. You know, you have police officers helping a homeless man shave so he can go get an interview at McDonald's, you know. things like that. I mean, there's all kinds of neat ways that people in authority can give back and stuff if you just kind of think about it a little bit. And that is it's one of those cool things. I'll post this article right here if any municipalities or, you know, want to take a look at it. Anybody in authority that could bring up this idea right here, maybe in Ulster County. It was absolutely the ultimate science fair project. And we all know what happens in the household when the kid says, we got a science fair project. Yes. Well, guess what his topic was? You know, when you do a science fair, you get those poster boards, and usually you have like three of them, and for some reason you turn them a little bit at an angle, you know, so you create like a little space you can go into. Anyway, so the you have a question, and then it's on the left side, and then in the middle, it's what you did to try to answer the question, and then on the right was the answer to, you know, the conclusion of your scientific experiments. Are you ready? Here's the question. How much turmoil in red letters, turmoil, does the science project cause families? Wow. What a, as soon as they say, and that's the biggest, that's the headline, the neon sign right there. The materials, of course, at least one kid, at least one grudging parent, half-baked idea, very dubious merit. Really? The teacher's like, dubious merit. Okay. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You heard mom or dad say that and you used it and you actually know the meaning of it. So we're looking at possibility A just right there on the very beginning. Process. What's on the bottom? Excuse me. Processed something or other. Anyway, the results. He's got a graph in there with yelling and crying and how it increases over time. 45% of kids cry. 90% of parents yell. Wow. An average of 15 hours of family time is sacrificed. And of course, the findings. And he actually included like cartoon eyes in this thing, which made it, that just sets it off. That just shows, well, you know, I'm really having fun doing this. Findings Everyone Hates, The Science Fair by Susan. Absolutely incredible, right? Loving that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
We have a prayer wall, which you may have heard about. It's not because we just all of a sudden thought, well, let's get big on prayer. No, that's been part of our mission ever since our inception here at the Sound of Life. But the prayer wall is new, and it's a physical post-it note of your prayers on a wall. And the thing that's amazing is that you can check it out and you can pray for people that are there and you can add to it through our website, soundoflife.org. Go to that website and then go to the prayer tab near the top of the page. You see that there? You're used to clicking on prayers. I just want to pray for a friend of ours right now who, she said, I'm beginning to believe Satan's lies because somehow he has brought them through everyone, including those calling themselves Christians. So she's really feeling beat up and hurt by things that people say to her. She said, my life riddled with pain, suffering, and discouragement. As a child, unaware, now brought to a level, I'm losing the love I had. Pray our omniscient King truly knows and prays he forgives. And he does. He knows, of course. And he knows he would be going through this. And Lord, I pray for you, my friend, going through things today, feeling hurt words. I pray for strength that only God can give and a joy that people do not understand because it's not understandable. And God said it would be that way. A peace and a joy for you to realize that his purposes are unfolding and that what you're going through brings him glory. And I pray for you, my friend, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you look at the universe now that we have the Hubble Space Telescope, I hope you've checked out some of the amazing creation of God. Just think about the power that it took to do that and the omnipotent to be able to do that. And then you think about, I was looking at this little face on a microscopic creature. At first it was scary looking. Then I thought, it's a cute little face there. I mean, there's something that's so small that's amplified at, 100,000 times or something? It's just insane. And you think, wow, that's just, I mean, the width and breadth of life and creation is amazing. And that same creator is holding your life in his hands. You think you can do it? I think you. I think it's pretty good. And that's the gist of the song from We Are Messengers. Maybe it's okay. When you're 17, you're not thinking like that probably, huh? When you're 17 and you're Francesca Battistelli, I don't know what you're thinking, but she had this kind of a boyfriend type of guy. She was kind of dating him. His dad invented toilet paper or something, so he had plenty of money. And so he had a boat. You know, that was his pride and joy right there. He was a boat lover. And she said the first time we met, he showed me how to tie 7 different types of knots. I should have known that things weren't going to work out right there. And that kind of tells you. But she had a Valentine's date with him, with a guy that wore loafers and khakis every day. And so he said, yeah, I'll pick you up at 7. So she's thinking, oh, he's got dinner planned and all this. She said, man, I get dolled up, already nice for dinner and stuff, wrongly assuming that that's what he had planned. She called him Bob. Bob the boater shows up at 7:15 wearing jeans and Birkenstocks. I have never seen him dress so casually, and suddenly I felt very overdressed in my heels and frilly top. And I said, well, where are we going? By the way, she said, there were a little hint there. No flowers, no chocolates in sight. He said, I don't know. What do you want to do? Francesca Battistelli telling this story. Flabbergasted that he made no plans, I suggested a movie. So we drove to the theater, and there was nothing playing except the movie The Black Knight. If you've never seen it, you're not missing anything, she said. Hope I relayed that the way she wanted me to. The gist of the story is that she sat fuming through the entire movie in all of its insipidity. You tell me what that means later? Okay. And at the end of the night, he thought it would be funny to dump a bottle of water. I'm telling too much of the story. Anyway, you got to do that. And the message is that, you know, Valentine's Day can be hard when you're alone, but remember that your worth isn't defined by how many long stem roses you're given, or if you have to date a fancy overpriced restaurant. Your worth is simply defined by Christ and who you are in Him. So smile this Valentine's Day, no matter where you are or who you're with, and think of me at 17 getting water dumped on my head for no good reason by a yuppie from Chicago.
Alrighty then.
Dave Frey, or David, from Sidewalk Prophets. Again, concert's coming up right here. And I just can't wait to ask an artist this question. How are you doing? In one word, Dave. In one word.
I would describe myself as awesome-rific. It's a combination of awesome and terrific.
Yes,
and, Yeah, it's been a good time. Like life has been very, very blessed. We got our drummer stepped down to spend more time with his family, and it was anxious and worrisome because you know, he'd been with us for 9 years, and then we had an all out call. We had about 100 people try out for drums.
Wow.
And our buddy, this man Sam. Sam the Man is what we call him, and he is just lighting it up back there on the drums, and it's really kind of a fresh new take, and it's I'm loving, you know, hitting the road with him, and there's a lot of crew, new crew. We got a pastor that's touring on the road with us now, pouring into us. So, I mean, even though things are changing, and change sometimes is scary, I feel like God is molding us even closer into the band He wants us to become. So, like, things are awesome, and we're having a blast.
Things are awesome, terrific, yeah. And Sidewalk Prophets in concert with special guest Dave Pettigrew. A lot of favorite songs you've heard on the radio. You'll be just amazed. And, of course, with Dave Pettigrew, awesome concert. First of all, in the Capital Region at Loudonville Community Church. That would be Monday, March 18th, 7 p.m. And then in Poughkeepsie at the Change Point Theater, the Change Point Church, where the Change Point Theater is. Yeah, it makes sense to me. It's on Friday, March 22nd at 7 p.m. And you can find out information about both of those. Secure your place if you want to go through a banner on our mobile apps and the banner at soundoflife.org. That's our website.
Excellent!
I love stories like this. I mean, you know, a high-end restaurant in Washington, D.C. that's just blocks from the White House that serves a particular type of cuisine. It's Pakistani Indian food. I think you pronounce the name Sakina Halal, I think, is the name of the Sakina, I guess. But, I mean, it's a very high-end restaurant. Now, there are people going in there that you think, I don't think those people can afford to eat in here. And you're right. They can't afford to eat in there. They're not paying customers. They're homeless people. They're poor. They're hungry. And they get a free meal at the same restaurant that the people go into for free, if you fall into that category. They've been doing it for the last 5 years. The owner says he estimates they served over 16,000 free meals, but I'm doing okay. Man, what a place in the neighborhood, right? That's one thing I really think is just so God-honoring, really is. I mean, it is when something is first class and people are invited to come to it. You know, if you're going to make a meal for somebody to give away to somebody who's desperate for a meal, make it the same meal that you would sell at a high-end restaurant. I think that's really pretty cool.
Prepare to be astonished.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
You got kids in school, maybe the, what grade's he in? I have to check, what is it, third, sixth grade, something like that, and they all do Valentine's, at least they used to. Third grader's perfect, absolutely perfect. And Kevin DeYoung's got a third grader. And what they do every year is they write a card for their, quote, adopted friend. That's a friend at a local nursing home, which is a great thing. But his son, and I'm glad Kevin shared this, because this is what happens. This is the way life is funny. He copied, the teacher is obviously in a Christian school, and the teacher suggested that they go in the Bible and get a verse from the Bible. It'd be really cool. And his son actually turned into his Bible to Acts chapter 5 instead of Romans chapter 5. I mean, it was close, Acts, Romans are right there, chapter 5, there it is, in this young child's mind, but the message came out, and when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. You'll probably never see that verse again. I pity the pastor who has you turn to Acts chapter 5 this Sunday, and you see that.
Oh, you look like a man who could use more coffee.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
The battle of wits has begun.
Joy. Now, that is a gift, right? But that is a gift that's only from God. Yeah, it's unexplainable. And you're going through whatever it is in life that you got to go through, and people go through, and people see you, and they see that joy in you. Not that you're happy, but you've got a rest assurance of where your home is, who loves you, and it's just an amazing thing. It's really hard to explain, and God intended it that way, to be that special a gift. So may you have joy on this Valentine's Day. Five lessons from the prayer life of Jesus. Yeah, I mean, if we're going to learn how to pray, might as well learn from Jesus, right? Remember, God is your Father. Right off the bat, God is your Father. Pray where you won't be interrupted. Pray to receive what God promises. Pray to receive and pray the promises. I've heard that over and over. How many times do you actually do that? Cultivate joy in prayer. And finally, when distress comes, pray. Absolutely, pray. Jesus was instructing people how to pray. He said, don't be like them. When you pray, don't be like the Gentiles do. They think that they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him. You ever had a prayer that was answered that you didn't even really put on your lips? And you just knew it was in the back of your mind somewhere, and maybe you weren't even thinking about it, and then when it was answered, it's like, whoa, wow, that came right out of my heart. That was something that only I knew. Isn't that pretty cool? Yeah. Want to know how I know God is real? Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I had a little bit there on at the end.
Dang.
It's very interesting, but here is certainly a God-designed marriage, really. It's really kind of unexpected. Back in the day, London was buzzing with raves about this eloquent preacher. He was 19 years old. I guess he came out of the water baptism. I'm preaching. That's kind of what he did. But Susanna Thompson was decidedly unimpressed when she first saw and met him in December of 1853, first Sunday that the young Charles Spurgeon was preaching at New Park Street Church. She said, so this is his so-called eloquence. It does not impress me. What a painful, countrified manner. Will he ever quit making flourishes with that terrible blue silk handkerchief? And his hair, why, he looks like a barber's assistant. That's funny. I'm just quoting Susanna. And yet she came to know Christ and grow under his teaching ministry. It happened to be in June of 1854 when the two young people attended this brilliant opening of London's Crystal Palace together. Charles Spurgeon read Susanna a few lines from a book he was reading. Quote, seek a good wife of thy God, for she is the best gift of his providence. If thou art to have a wife of thy youth, she is now living on the earth. Therefore, think of her and pray for her weal. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but he asked her in a soft voice, do you pray for him who is to be your husband? Her heart was racing. Her eyes fell and she blushed at the young pastor's words. And she would write years later that during that walk in the memorable day in June, I believe God himself united our hearts in an indissoluble bond of true affection. And though we knew it not, gave us to each other forever. And that's interesting, isn't it? What you look back on it, because certainly at the time, and you may have a story about that. That's fascinating. Of course, Charles and Susanna Spurgeon were married in 1856, and their love grew in the ensuing years. Many trials and troubles they each faced, and apparently only strengthened their spiritual oneness. By the time he was 30, now he started preaching when he was 19, so 11 years later, he suffered, from gout and had depression because of it. Susie, as he called her, was also ill. She didn't leave the house for 15 years. Yet through the difficulties and problems, both were able to have important Christian ministries. Of course, Charles Spurgeon became one of the most famous preachers in Victorian England, so much so that he was actually a tourist attraction. People spread rumors about him. You know how things like that go. I mean, it was just amazing. She, an invalid much of her life, reared their twin sons, both of whom entered Christian ministry. She established and operated a book fund to distribute his books and writings free to pastors. Charles Spurgeon did not like to be called Reverend, so she had a special name for him, which was the Persian word for revered, a revered one, which was Tershatha. That's very interesting that she would come up with that. It was absolutely brilliant. But through all those trials and service, the love for the Lord and each other strengthened over time, and each was the greatest support of the other, and their spiritual bond deepened their love, maybe because of what they were going through. Something special, you know. So much of the time you get into the mundane, the routine. Very interesting little love story there.
The Sound of Life.
Valentine's Day, and here's the history of Valentine's Day, kids. In a nutshell, the best we can know it. All right? Valentine's story begins around the 3rd century. That's in the 200s A.D. That's older than St. Patrick's. Okay, so that's St. Valentine's. There's a Christian priest named Valentine. So he was secretly wedding people forbidden to marry by Roman law. So whatever it was, I think I heard once soldiers were forbidden to marry at that time. Maybe some people. So he was breaking Roman law by marrying them. All right. I had heard in one version where he was actually jailed for that. And then on February the 14th in 269, they actually executed him.
All we are is dust in the wind, dude.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go. We're burning daylight.
The Sound of Life.
The Sound of Life with Micah Tyler and a song born out of a hurricane. Yes, around the Texas area. You do remember a couple of years ago? Absolutely. God is with you no matter what. Even Then is the name of the song from Micah Tyler. Welcome, I'm Joe. And we present, first of all, really, really gut-wrenching news to a family. You got your child who's 4 years old and gets diagnosed with cancer. It's just crushing. It has to be just crushing. And they treated him, and then when he was 9, the cancer returned. He was free of cancer, and he turned like 8 or 9, and they've discovered that the cancer's back. It's more aggressive than ever. It spread to 70% of his body. The only remaining option for this youngster is a stem cell transplant. Now, stem cells are back in again. They've always been there. You know, remember when they were back in the news? I really blame the media for just had an opportunity to explain to people what was going on. And I guarantee if you just walk up to somebody and ask them about certain questions about stem cells, they're so confused about embryonic stem cells, umbilical cord stem cells, adult stem cells. Is anything outlawed? Who does what? You know, it was very confusing, and I blame the media. He had an opportunity to take care of that, but I think he misrepresented what was going on. Anyway, so they had some stem cells in a freezer in Texas. Umbilical cord was donated for that purpose, and they had been in a freezer. How long they been in there? I don't know. But it's the only thing we got. It's all we can do. That's it. The boy is going to die if we don't. They're over 70% of his body. So that's what they did to treat this aggressive cancer. It's myeloid leukemia, acute myeloid leukemia. They did it. And now, guess what? They did a final scan of his body, and they said, "We don't want to see you around anymore, son." That's what they said. Can you imagine the parents? This is absolutely amazing. His hair grew back. He looks like young Shelton. He does, in his little shorts. He's absolutely awesome. And his parents are just doing a dance, I'm telling you. It's just amazing. His mom said, "I don't think he really understood the severity of it." Nobody does. Like, mom, looking down at your little precious child. So it was a really pretty cool story. I got it off the Good News Network there. Boy cured of cancer thanks to stem cell treatment using donated umbilical cord. So that's a pretty cool thing. I'll post on the Cup of Joe Morning Show Facebook news feed. Reminded of when very own Janine took her annual vacation. I think she has a timeshare in Aruba, right? Everywhere there, it's on the equator. It's sunny and hot. It's just a perfect getaway, you know, for us. Want to get down there and cook a while for a week and things like that. So she was in an Uber car, and the driver said, "Yeah, if I was going to take a vacation, I'd want to go to Alaska." She's like, "Why would you want to go to Alaska?" And he said, "Well, today is sunny and 85. Tomorrow, it's sunny and 85. The day after that is sunny and 85. And the day after that is sunny." I got you. I get it. Okay. So sometimes you just have to be thankful because the anticipation of change. And believe me, around here, there's a lot of anticipation for spring, isn't there? It's pretty amazing. Maybe there's an anticipation to hear a preacher. You got your favorite preacher. You know who it is. You can access it anytime you want right at our website. You may be going, "What?" That's right. Because there's a whole site that we have created called soundoflife.tv. You link it at soundoflife.org on the listen/view tab towards the top of the page. You see it says listen view. That's right. And it gives you access to all your favorite pastors. I won't mention any names because they're there. They're already there. Now you hear Max Lucado's thought here. You hear Johnny Erickson Tata. You hear Dr. Tony Evans, and they're all there at soundoflife.tv. Visual as well, too. That's a really cool thing, I understand. The visual thing is just really cool. Not as cool as radio, but you know, not as cool as the theater of the mind, but pretty cool. And again, you can check out, you can just go to soundoflife.tv, or if you're used to, you know, going to soundoflife.org, our website, right there near the top of the page, click on the Listen View tab. That's what it gives you. Access to soundoflife.tv. It's pretty cool.
I started searching on the radio in the car, and right at that particular point, the song "There Is Power in the Name of Jesus" was on, and it like grabbed me.
There is power.
Hair on my arm stood up, my body was tingling, and I listened to the words, and it just filled me so much at a point in time when I really needed it. And I just praise God for giving me the Sound of Life.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Mike comes in and he goes, it's raining out, but it's like a different kind of rain. It's like freezing rain. I said, yeah, are you okay? I said, did that just start here? He comes from, he's from the other side of the river. You know, he's from around Wappingers Falls. He said, yeah, it just started. So it's kind of exciting. It's always an adventure, right? Yeah, an adventure. Boy, that'd be kind of cool to find somebody call you up and say, we found your purse. Well, not if you're a guy, but I mean, you know, we found your wallet or your purse and it's yours. We know it's yours. And you're like, I didn't lose my purse. I didn't lose my wallet. Well, you did like 60 years ago. I'm like, what? Yeah, she's now 82 years old. Her name is Martha Everett. I think I figured it out. Because workers are working on this old school, the old Jeffersonville High School. This one happens to be in Indiana. I can just picture it now. And workers are in there. You know, how nostalgic would that be? I hope they're old enough to remember being in classrooms like that. It's just amazing. Just the ambiance. You know, the old days of how it used to be when real education. Okay, I'm getting along. So they were moving a cabinet and they found this purse. It was in really good shape. And they, you know, through social media, they looked in there and they looked and found out whose it was because of the identification stuff. But through social media, they could find Martha and give it back to her. From the 1950s. And so now she's 82 years old. They called her up. They found it behind the cabinets. I figured she probably put it on top of the cabinet for some reason. Somebody probably put something else up there. Somehow it got shoved to the back and it fell off the back. And so it wasn't up there. She looked. I don't know where it is. Maybe I'd put it in, you know, took it somewhere, put it in my locker or whatever. And she never found it. I don't know what happened to it. Maybe somebody took it. It's just sitting back there all those years. Generations of kids coming in and out. And all that stuff, the prom invitation, the photos, a lot of other items in there from the 1950s, just sitting there collecting dust, but not a lot of dust. It was pretty cool. So they got it back to her. She said, thanks to the power of social media, according to the school, and one of her relatives, I guess, saw it on Facebook and post and then, you know, called her up, said, they got your purse. What? It had a wallet in it. It had a letter inviting her to the prom, lipstick, photos, and it had the Juicy Fruit gum in there, which she said apparently was still pretty good.
No kidding.
Waking up with a cup of joe.
Probably all been in line somewhere, and suddenly somebody from your past, at least that's what they say, hey, I'm Joan. Remember me? And you're like going through the index card of Jones as fast as you can because there's a lot of them. And if you're a speaker and a traveler and a book writer like Elisa Morgan, I mean, there's been a lot of people that you've met in your life. It's not really fair, to tell you the truth, but she was trying to, and she just couldn't place them, and it came out on her face, and her neighbor finally said, we knew each other in high school. And then she remembered Joan. That Joan with the football games, sitting cheering in the stands, and all that kind of stuff, once it was clarified. That actually happened in the Bible, and it happened to Mary Magdalene. Believe it or not, I mean, this is something that you must think, really? That opens up a lot more questions, I think, than it answers. But it was after Jesus' death. And, of course, Mary went to the tomb early in the morning, found the stone rolled away, and his body was gone. That's recorded in the Gospel of John in chapter 20. Of course, she ran to get Peter and John, who returned. By the way, the woman was first at the grave, I mean, you know, at the tomb. Just to let you know about that. She went to get Peter and John. The tomb was empty. And Mary's lingering around in her grief, which must have been immense. And then Jesus appeared. And the Bible says she did not realize it was Jesus, thinking he was the gardener. What did he look like? You know, I mean, like, did he, is his glorified body a gardener body? I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of questions in there, isn't there? I mean, and she spent a lot of time with him. You know, the disciples, people who knew him, there was no mistaking who it was. I mean, when they saw it. But after his body was resurrected, wow, was it so changed that it was difficult? Did her grief, maybe it was her grief. That could have been it. People who were in great grief, maybe they know. Maybe it blinded her to ability to be able to identify him, maybe. Or maybe it was because Jesus was, quote, out of context, like Joan, you know, just in an airport in a strange city, you know, not, you know, if we'd been at a high school reunion, yeah, Elisa, whatever. Oh, yeah, yeah, Joan, I know you, you know, but it was out of context, alive in the garden instead of dead in the tomb. And she wasn't thinking that way, right? We sometimes, on a day-to-day basis, maybe already today, miss Jesus when he comes in to our days. Maybe during prayer or Bible reading or simply whispering in our hearts. So that's, Elisa Morgan just wanted you to say, you know, wanted you to kind of think about that in the, as the way that we have a friend taps us on the shoulder and say, hey, remember me. Sometimes we miss Jesus on a day-to-day basis as well.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life, Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events and contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.